talking about the spiritual disciplines, the spiritual practices, and today we're going to talk about the spiritual practice of worship. Yes, worship is something that we need to discipline ourselves and make it a very important part of our lives, because this is where we connect with God, and that's what we want to talk about today. Worship is defined in the Old Testament. So we get the next, yeah. So defining worship throughout the Bible, certainly it is part of pouring out our gratitude, adoration, praise, giving God all the glory. But what did it mean under the Old Testament? Certainly it had those aspects to it, but it was a little bit different because it was more physical in nature than spiritual and under the New Testament. So under the Old Testament, the word for worship had to do with prostrating oneself, falling down before, putting yourself under the one that you're rendering that adoration and praise to. So it's paying homage, reverence, praise and giving thanks to someone. So physically, these individuals would fall down, bow, kneel, raise hands, do all these things in showing reverence and submission to God. Under the New Testament, we don't have those physical elements. It's mostly spiritual. It's all spiritual. And so instead of falling down, instead of rendering incense, having a physical lamb to slaughter, all these physical parts that made up the Old Testament worship, which was central to the life of an Israelite, it was the focal point of their life, worshiping at the temple. And so all those things were physical, and you move to the New Testament, and now it's all spiritual. When you sing songs, when you say thank you, when you do all these different things, they're all spiritual in nature. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we're going to let Jesus define for us what worship is under the new covenant. So the question is brought up by the woman at the well that Jesus comes in contact with, and she asks that all-important question. As a side note, just to insert evangelism into this, when we talk to people in our community, when we talk to family members, friends, neighbors who are not Christians, or maybe they're just not sold on Christianity entirely, we need to be able to share this information with them and be able to define worship. So when we talk about worship, you point them to the New Testament and you go to John chapter 4. Notice this in verse 20. The woman asked, "Our father," she says, "our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus responds, verse 21, he said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Verse 23 and 24. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit." Here's part of his reasoning here. "God is spirit, and those who worship Him," notice this word, "must." It's of absolute importance that when you come to the new covenant, which we're under, we leave the elements and parts of the old covenant, which were all physical rituals, they were tangible, they were temporary, then we move into the eternal part. We need to worship the way that Jesus has described for us, which is what? Spirit and in truth. Now, what are those two things? What is spirit and in truth? What would you say spirit is? So when you come to worship God and you pray forth or put forth all the praise, adoration, all those things we talked about, is your spirit engaged in that? In other words, is your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, your conscience, that's what makes up the inward man. And it's this inward part that needs to be concentrated on God. And Jesus says, your attitude is important when you come to worship. attitude, your mindset. What are you thinking about? What's the focal point of worship service? The Lord's Supper. Are you concentrated on God, the object? Jesus Christ, His Son. That's who we can render this approved and appropriate worship through Jesus and His great sacrifice. So are you doing those things? Are you bringing in that right attitude and mindset? And then he also says it's the truth where you render approved or appropriate worship to God. The truth. Where do we find the truth? This is not to do with opinions, interpretations. This has nothing to do with, well, hey, you do things the way that you want to do them, and I'll do them the way that I want to do them. An all-important question for us, again, when it comes to worship, and we tell people why we worship the way that we worship, we need to be able to answer their questions when they say, hey, man, why don't you guys have instruments? Where are the mechanical instruments? Why don't you guys do that? And if you've already listened in this lesson so far, we've already touched on that. Because now worship under the new covenant is spiritual in nature. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And keep your finger here on John 4. So Ephesians 5. We'll start in verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's our command. Be filled with God's Spirit. How do you do that? Verse 19, speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So how are you filled with God's Spirit? And as you're pouring forth this praise and gratitude towards God, giving thanks to His name, where does that come from? Comes from the inward part. So God's not going to sit here and cover everything that He doesn't want us to do. He's going to tell us specifically what He does want us to offer when we come together in worship. He wants us to sing, give thanks, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, where we respect each other, where we love one another. That's what He expects in this time of worship service. And again, so that's the attitude. You got to have the right mindset and the truth. John 4. So now go back to John chapter 4 just for a moment. John 4, and I want you to notice this again in verse 23. The Father is seeking such. Back up a little bit more in John, verse 23, and he says, the true worshipers. Jesus says there's a time coming in the new covenant when it's established, which was Acts chapter 2. There's a time coming when God is going to be looking for His true worshipers. Those who genuinely and honestly, through surrender and submission to God, are going to pour forth the right attitude, praise, adoration, giving thanks, and they're going to do it in correspondence with God's truth. Those are the ones that God looks for. He doesn't look for the people who take worship and say, you know what, I'm going to be a little inventive. Instead of having the Lord's Supper, we're going to have Papa John's. Or we're going to add to the worship service. We're not going to be having a lesson or anything. We're just going to watch a movie. We're going to watch Harry Potter today. And so we're going to add all these different elements and parts to the worship service. Do you know that that kind of worship, according to this passage, is not what God accepts? God doesn't want His people to sit around watching Harry Potter and eating Papa John's. Sounds terrific, but it has nothing to do with our will and our wants and our desires. Those are things that we spiritually give up when we come in together to worship God. It's no longer about what I want and what you like. We don't come into worship service, and I've probably said this before because it's very important as we try to get into the meat of this lesson and wrap it up. If you leave here and you say, I just didn't feel it in worship today. Man, it just didn't do much for me. You know, I usually get more out of coming together for worship service than I normally did today. Just, you know what, just didn't really connect with me today. You know what you should ask yourself or have someone else who's spiritually a mentor to you ask you? They should ask you, what did you do wrong? What did you do wrong? Worship service, and I can't be any clearer about this, is not about you. Worship service is not about you and your likes and dislikes. It's not about our wants. It's about what God the Father wants. God is seeking the true, genuine, honest worshipers to worship Him with the right attitude and with His truth that He's revealed to us. So when it comes to God saying, I want you to sing and make melody from your heart, I don't want any addition to the elements or the parts of worship. And if you do that, what does that say to God? You know, when I go to Subway, here lately, the kids too, they've been talking a lot about Subway. I guess it's at Walmart, so they always want to go to Subway. If you've ever been to Subway, have you ever had to come up to the window and tell the person everything you did not want on there? No, that's not how you order food, is it? You come up and order, and what do you tell them? Everything you do want on there. I'm a simple man, and I'm simple when it comes to my food as well. I'll be honest, when I go in and order a Subway sandwich, it's on white bread, it's turkey, cheese, and lettuce, and I'm out. That's it. Now, if that thing comes back to me and it has peppers on it or pickles, I'm going to be very unhappy, because that's not what I asked for. And God doesn't have to go over everything that He doesn't want when it comes to worship. God told us exactly what He wanted, and that's exactly what we need to offer back to Him. So when people say, well, it doesn't say in those passages that you can't have musical instruments. It doesn't say that you can't. It doesn't say a lot of things that God doesn't want. God doesn't want cartoons. God doesn't want gymnastics. God doesn't want all these things. But we shouldn't reason and go, well, I think He might like this, so I'm going to put pickles on the worship service. Don't do that. Just offer what God has simply asked us for. And what God has asked for today is that your inward man, our spiritual part, is going to be in the right attitude, the right mindset, and it's going to be in correspondence with what He has asked for. Not any additions, not any inventions. There's nothing that we're going to add to this, because anything added to that, God's not going to eat it. He's not going to take it. He's going to give it back to us and say, that's not what I asked for. Well, Lord, I just thought that you would enjoy that. He says, that's not what I asked for. Depart from me, I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness, in other words, you who did what you wanted to do. So when we define worship, it is critically important that we understand that God is the object of our worship. He's the one that makes the demands. He tells us exactly what He wants on the sandwich. And we don't make any additions to that. We don't make any changes to it. The importance of worship. So why is this so significant? And we read it in Hebrews chapter 4, but if you would, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And then we're going to come back to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 10, and then we'll come back to Hebrews chapter 4. So He's already covered what Jesus has done for us, and we have the object of our worship. So it's about who God is and what God has done for us. And what God has done for us is He sent His Son to be that sacrifice for us that we could not do ourselves. And it's a once and for all sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, He says, therefore, brethren, having boldness and confidence, and as a side note, that is critically important as well. No one comes to God timidly or afraid and in fear and go, well, I just don't know what God wants from me, so I'm just not going to offer anything to Him. No, now you approach in boldness, confidence, to enter the holy place, the holiest place, by the blood of Jesus. So that's what Jesus has done for us in his sacrifice. Verse 20, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, here it is, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So in other words, he's telling us because of what Jesus has offered for us, we have this new and living way that we get to approach God and come near to him. No one had that under the Old Testament. Only the high priest was the one person who once a year could go into the holiest place. Now Christians, under what Jesus has done for us, have that access 24/7. Friends, that's part of the importance, significance, the wonderful aspect of worship service. You and I have direct access to the throne of grace. So as we approach our Creator and thank Him for making all things that we have before us, we need to make sure that we're doing what He's asked us to do. So look at Hebrews chapter 4. Now turn to Hebrews 4. And this is part of the importance as well. Hebrews 4, and the text that was so capably read for us by Brother Parker. Let's back up to verse 12 for a moment. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's really good information for us, because now God knows what's in our heart. He knows our intentions. He knows what we're trying to do, if we're trying to live a life that's in correspondence with His word. He knows that. The scary reality, God knows our thoughts and intentions. He knows what's in our heart. And that can be a real frightening truth. Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of whom we must give an account. God is our judge, and he will judge us by this living word. Now the writer gets into the good part of it. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, just like Hebrews chapter 10, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, confidently, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So now, through what Jesus has done for us in the position that he holds as high priest, we can come confidently to the throne of grace and ask God for help in time of need. Now we get to approach God. We get to draw near to God. That's worship. And that's the most significant and important part of worship service. We get to come near to God. We get to draw near to Him. And so, as the writer of Hebrews is letting these Christians know, there was a time where you were distant from God. You were an alien. You were a stranger. You had no connection with Him. Now, through worship, through Jesus Christ, you can approach God confidently. Not timidly, not out of fear, but you get to approach God confidently. Now let's get to how we do this. How do you and I apply worship service to our lives? I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not judging anyone. I'm simply trying to give you information so that you and I can practice this and do it better. So it becomes part of our life as a Christian, because this is the central focus of what we're trying to accomplish, so we certainly want to do it right. Have you ever thought about preparation for worship? You know, we don't just wake up on Sunday mornings, get our Sunday best on, come down here and just punch the time card in and leave and just forget about what happened. So can I suggest to you that worship in preparation for it should actually begin on Saturdays? It should begin on Saturday. Have you ever heard those people say, man, I was just out all night on Saturday, and so I just couldn't make it to worship service because I was too tired. Well, what did you do? Oh, man, we went downtown, and we spent all night Saturday night, and I'm just too exhausted. I can't make it to worship service. Well, did you prioritize worship service then? No. If you're out all night on Saturday, then there's no way you can come in here with the right attitude, and certainly with the truth, because that's not what God has asked for, and render your best to the one who deserves it most. I just simply suggest to you, start prepping for worship service on Saturdays. Make sure you get plenty of rest. Make sure that you have an open calendar, that you're not going to miss it, you're going to make it to it, because you prioritize it. God must be first in our life. We can't let any distractions, any worries, take us away from our devotion and pouring out adoration towards God. But too often, I've seen that happen many times. People don't prioritize it. They don't make it an all-important part of their life. And so they put it to the side, and they end up not coming to worship. That's not what God wants, and it's certainly not what God deserves. So we have to prioritize it. We have to practice being thankful, surrendering ourselves to God, offering ourselves to Him. And we cannot offer Him our best if we're only thinking about it on Sunday morning when we wake up. It must come from the previous day. We got to have prep time for worship service. Then applying it, we want to make sure that we come together, that we're not just a person who's on an island by themselves worshiping God. We need to make sure that we come together for corporate worship, and we need to make sure that we uplift our brothers and sisters. Going back to Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment as we begin to close this out. Notice verse 24 and 25 of Hebrews 10. Let us consider one another to stir up love and good works. So part of your coming here today, singing those songs, saying thank you to God, but is also to notice your brother and sisters in Christ and to edify them. Make sure that they continue in the faith. They're continuing doing what God has asked them to do. Love and good works. If you're coming here and you're not talking to anybody, if you're not trying to uplift other people, did you really come here for the right reasons? Did you really render to God what He's asked for? Part of our worship and part of worship that's approved by God is taking recognition to each other, noticing our brothers and sisters, and not forsaking the time that we have when we come together. Prioritize it. Make it a must. And then we want to make sure that we learn and grow as we come together. All of these spiritual practices that we've been talking about, all of these are intended to make us more like Christ. Jesus' life was completely focused on His relationship with the Father. Jesus would not subvert or submit or change God's truth. Notice what He says in Matthew chapter 4, and this will be our final passage. Jesus being tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. Notice what Jesus says to the devil when the devil asks Him to prostrate Himself, fall down, worship Me, show yourself in submission to Satan. Notice this. Verse 8, again, the devil took Him up on an exceeding high mountain, showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And the devil said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and what? Worship Me. What's Jesus' response? Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. And Jesus, confidently sticking with that relationship, that fellowship that He has with His Father, which is the truth, notice what happens next in verse 11. then the devil left him. If we want Satan away from us, we need to make God a priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those other things that we worry about, all the distractions, will take care of themselves. Worship is critical to the life of a Christian. If you're flourishing, you're being a blessing to others, and you're fruitful, then it's because worship is the core of who you are. If you're here this morning and worship is not a focus of yours, we encourage you to get to know God better. Get to know who He is and what He's done for you. And it's because of who He is and what He's done through His Son that you will want to pour forth that worship that He deserves. So if you don't have the right information about God, let us study with you. And if we study with you and you're ready to become a Christian, we would love to baptize you for the remission of sins. So now you can begin to access God, draw near to His throne of grace. If you're here and you're a Christian and you realize, I've let those distractions pull me away from my devotion to God, repent of that. Come back and give God what He's requested. If we can help you in any way, come forward as we stand and we sing.